My name's Buffalo Bill and you're listening to The Bike Show on Resonance FM. Listening to The Bike Show on Resonance 104.4 FM. Thanks, Paul. Sensational art rocker. He's exhausted. He's rubbing his eyes. The piles of CDs, art rocker CDs.
That was all on tape.
It was all on original 45 vinyl. Highly collectible items. The man is a mess, but we are here. The Bike Show is back, or I'm back at least. Kieran Yates was standing in for me last week because I was in Budapest having something of a Hungarian adventure. Well, we're going to be following up Kieran's report on the Paris-Brest-Paris ride later this year, talking with Patrick Field about his plans for a fourth attempt at the Paris-Brest-Paris for him. We're also going to be looking at the flourishing world of bicycle radio and podcasting and a little report on what it's like to ride a bicycle in Budapest. As I said, I was in Budapest last week, and in midwinter, that is a mean old place to be riding a bicycle. So I didn't actually get on two wheels at all. I completely failed, but I did manage to have a browse around through some record shops and particularly enjoyed this track by a Budapest-based band called Kerekes. The track is called Chango Tango. Now, I'm told that Budapest has quite a vibrant bicycle culture, but I think it was in hibernation, at least when I was there, and it must be something of a fair-weather thing. A few years ago, Budapest caught the international cycling headlines with an enormous critical mass ride in the city that attracted between 25 and 30,000 riders, making it probably the world's largest ever critical mass. But last week, there were very few people to be seen out on the roads on bicycles. Mostly it was hardy bike messengers ploughing up and down the wide boulevards and contending with the wind and bad weather and that cold wind blowing down from Siberia. The city's also fairly hilly, at least on the Buda side, and there are tram tracks on many of the streets offering yet another hazard besides the slightly overexcitable Hungarian motorists. But I have to say, these bike messengers were made of pretty tough stuff, not the kind of lifestyle bike messengers that you see a lot in London and New York. These guys in Hungary were for real, so hats off to them. Well, as I said, last week's show reminded us that 2007 is a Paris year. The ride only comes around every 4 years. And as you heard, Kieran Yates, the bike show's very own Kieran Yates, is already well into his training for this mammoth undertaking. But so too is Patrick Field, who we featured on the show a couple of weeks ago. Patrick's secret to success in the Paris-Brest-Paris is doing the ride on a recumbent bicycle. And a couple of weeks ago when I caught up with him, he explained to me just why that was.
I'm full of admiration for someone who can ride that far on a classic bike and get off smiling. But there are lots of people you see coming to the finish in a pretty bad state, you know, sore wrists, sore neck, sore backside. And you just think, well, why don't you get a more comfortable bike, my friend? Because, you know, if you're going to ride 700 miles on a push bike, especially if you're me, it's going to take you a long time. And the problem is not, can you do it? Of course you can do it. The problem is, can you be comfortable and content while you're doing it, I think.
So what was it like on your previous attempts?
Fantastic. It's like being a saint. You know, you ride your bike in England and people want to know why you're doing it. There has to be a product. Is it for charity? Whereas you ride your bike in France and it's like you're mad. It's beautiful. It's a mixture, I think, of the Catholic religion, you know, suffering and obedience and just doing something because you can, because it's beautiful. And also their sort of spiritual affinity with modernism. You know, the Paris-Brest originally was the birth of the modern world, because that's when the Michelin company went from being a joke to being the thing. You know, in the 19th century, when people's idea of a road was a load of stones and their idea of a tyre was an iron hoop around a wooden cartwheel, and some joker said, I know, let's put a bag of air round the wheels. People just laughed. They thought it was preposterous. It was like the geeks who in 1978 said, one day there will be a computer in every home in the world. You know, it was stupid. And then Charles Terron won the first edition of the Paris-Brest in 1891 in 72 hours, and the world changed.
And so how long did it take you, the times you've been doing it?
Well, the touring limit is 90 hours. And we go on a much more circuitous and hilly route than Charles Terron. Charles Terron just went down the desire line, I have to add, on stony roads and a 19th century bike. So we go on the pretty way. 90 hours is the touring limit. I think I did 86 hours the first time, 84 hours the second time. Last time I did 78, 39.
And positive splits.
Definitely. This year, I'm hoping, and it's ambitious, I want to do 71.59.
Is it, when you're riding along in that race, is there a lot of camaraderie? Do you go in a group? I mean, or are you quite broken up by the time, you know, you've gotten underway?
Initially, if you leave in the big bunch...
How many people are doing it at the start?
Maybe about 4,000. So you're just a river of crazy international overexcited humanity, and you look ahead and you can see a river of red broken by horizons reaching into the distance. You look over your shoulder and you see a river of white through the darkness broken by horizons, and you thunder through the first night, and then slowly things get broken up. But you know, there's always a rider in the distance ahead, a rider in the distance behind, different groups. You know, some people like to ride fast and see how fast they can go. I think the limit is something hilarious like 50 hours. You know, that's the record. Then other people like to ride fast and take good rest. And some people like to ride slowly and continuously. What you can't do is ride slowly and take good rest.
So what do you do?
I'm a slow, steady rider, and I think that suits recumbents. Recumbents, you know, they in theory they're more efficient, and with a strong rider, you know, the atmospheric resistance is less, so you can go potentially faster. But it's a festival, you know, it's a social event. I plan to keep doing it. You know, this year is a kind of a crossover between me getting old and the bikes I'm riding getting faster and faster.
So heading towards being the Jimmy Savile of the Paris.
Oh no, it's an old man's game, and you see lots of old guys, you know, who they say to you, you know, is this your first time? And you say, oh, yes, or no, it's my second time. And then they hold up six fingers, and you just look at them and think, yes, I shall live forever. It's very beautiful.
Well, that was Patrick Field on how he is planning to complete his fourth Paris-Brest-Paris race over the summer. But if, like me, Paris-Brest-Paris is way out of your league, but you still fancy a massed ride, you might want to consider doing one of a growing clutch of cyclosportives, which are becoming regular features of the bicycling calendar. Well, a cyclosportive is a kind of semi-competitive day-long or more than day, multi-day road ride, often following the course of a famous stage race or a famous day classic or some other route of historical or cultural significance. I guess probably the most prestigious and famous cyclosportif is the Étape du Tour, which happens every year during the Tour de France. It covers one of the particularly tough stages of the Tour de France. And this year it's going to be on Monday the 16th of July from Foix to Loudenville. And it's 196 kilometres over a whole load of terrifying Pyrenean passes. Take note that on the Étape du Tour last year, quite a number of people, as many as a third of the people who entered it and began the ride, did not complete. So it's pretty tough. Probably equally tough is La Mont Ventoux and La Grimpe du Ventoux on the 26th and 27th of May 2007. This obviously scaling Mont Ventoux and rivals the Étape du Tour in difficulty and probably popularity, although there are three choices of distances in this cyclosportif: 170-kilometre master event, 102-kilometre senior event, and 75-kilometre découverte event, all starting and finishing from the town of Baume de Venise. Probably eclipsing either of those two rides in terms of mountain cyclosportifs is La Marmotte, which takes place in the French Alps on Saturday the 7th of July. And this is a 174-kilometre ride starting in Bourg d'Oisan, climbing the Col de la Croix de Fer, the Col du Télégraphe, the Col du Galibier, before returning to Bourg d'Oisan and finishing in a cruel twist up the 21 hairpins of the climb to L'Alpe d'Huez. And I've done some of those climbs myself, and I haven't done them all on a single day, and actually I shudder at the thought of doing them all on a single day. But if you want to, again, chapeau. A couple of Italian cyclosportifs to look out for are the Gran Fondo Campagnolo and the Gran Fondo Pinarello. I think the Italian cyclosportives are a little bit more relaxed and fun than the French ones. That's what I've heard from people who've done them. And there's a terrific Italian cyclosportive called the Eroica, which takes place in October. And this is a kind of vintage Cycle Sportive, where people are encouraged to wear vintage cycling gear and ride, if possible, a vintage bicycle. The route takes in unsurfaced roads, and all the food stations are providing period sustenance. So it's none of your energy bars, none of your Gatorade and Lucozade, none of your gels. It's salami, good cheese, and white bread, washed down with some cheap red wine, I suspect. If you don't fancy making the trip to the continent to take part in a Cycle Sportive, there is a growing number of these rides in the UK. One that caught my eye is the inaugural Dartmoor Classic Cycle Sportive, which is taking place for the first time this year on Sunday the 13th of May, organised by the Mid Devon Cycling Club. And I think there are two routes here, both of them in the Dartmoor region, one of them 100 miles and one of them 100 kilometres. So you can take your pick whether you want to go metric or imperial. So that's on Sunday the 13th of May, and I've got a pretty good mind to go along and do that one myself. And something that's just been announced, that to extreme excitement, I think, is the Cycle Sportive of Stage 1 of the Tour de France this year, which runs from London down to Canterbury through Kent and Sussex, starting in East London, of course. And this is going to be taking place on Sunday the 1st of July, exactly a week before the pro riders of Le Tour de France will be riding it themselves. And there'll be up to 5,000 riders from across the UK and Western Europe apparently taking part in this. And it will apparently mirror the high standards and pedigree of the major continental Cycle Sportives. It's going to be covering the same 117-mile route as the Tour de France. And I think it's going to be pretty terrific. So get your entries in now. I'll put a link to how you can do that on the Bike Show website, which is www.bikeshow.blogspot.com, and I'll see you there. But if you can't wait until the 1st of July to ride Stage 1 of this year's Tour de France, I think there's a plan being hatched at Bike Show headquarters to make a little foray one weekend in the next couple of months to do that ride ourselves. Group of people, maybe we'll rope Barry Mason in and Southwark Cyclists. I think it could be fun. 120 miles, a bit more hilly than the Dunwich Dynamo, but the same kind of distance. Definitely doable. And of course, if we pack our paint pots and brushes, we can lay down the first few graffiti of the Tour de France in Britain. Anyway, more details in due course. Now, this is the 60-something edition of the Bike Show. I can't quite remember how many we've done now, but it's been around about that number since the idea for a bicycle radio show was hatched in the summer of 2004. And there didn't seem to be much bicycle radio going on at that time, which is why we thought we'd do it first on Resonance. But now, thanks to the podcasting revolution, you can hardly move for bicycle radio shows. So I took a look around on the internet to check out the competition, and here is a selection of what's out there.
In this episode of the Fredcast, Cannondale recalls some 2007 model bikes, Oscar Pereiro, and a positive drug test result. The final teams for the Tour of California, Saul Raisin back at training camp, And would you like to be the editor of Velo News? Following the news, an interview with Paul Sanchez from 8wishes.com, some upcoming rides, shout-outs, and PodSafe cycling music. So sit back, relax, and if you're riding your bike hammer, just a little bit harder, because here comes the Fredcast. Welcome to episode 11 of the Spokesman Cycling Roundtable Podcast. We have a fairly full house today, starting with Tim Grawl from the Crooked Cog Network. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Next up is Donna Tosi from Kryptonite. Donna, how are you today?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Monday.
Happy cold Monday, pretty much all across the country. And Carlton, how is it over on your side of the world? Carlton Reed from Bike Biz.
Hi there. It's cold. Very cold, but not as cold as where you are, I'm sure.
Well, for those of you who are wondering how can it be so cold in Southern California, I'm not in Southern California today, and that is the reason. It's snowy and I believe below zero, so it's just cold here.
Don't
worry,
you come together in that setting.
Now here's your host, Tim Grawl.
Hello and welcome to the Crooked Cog Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Grawl, and you're listening to the audio component of the Crooked Cog Network, which can be found at www.crookedcog.com. Now, today's show is pretty exciting. It is a women's only show.
Come on, I'm ready to hurt myself. Let's get on with this shit. Let's go.
Please,
let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ready? 3, 2, 1.
So they lined them all up, shoulder to shoulder, and let them fly. They were chased by a motorized scooter and a truck. They quickly disappeared into the fog. I waited a little while and drove down the hill to see what happened. One of the guys apparently lost control and hit a tree, but he seemed a little scratched up, but not too bad.
Hello.
Hello.
And welcome. To the Cycling Insight podcast number 26.
Is it?
Indeed, 26.
Este es el show número 3 del Bike Tourist Podcast, edición en español. Mi nombre es Gabriel. En este capítulo hablaremos de la bicicleta a la que cariñosamente llamaremos la máquina turística. Máquina por todo el trabajo y la carga que tiene que enfrentar.
Well, hello there. Welcome to Bikescape, episode number 56. And it is January 18th, 2007. Well, you heard there a selection of, I don't know if I should call them the competition, but that's a selection of bicycle radio around the world. And in no particular order, you heard there snippets from the Fredcast, from Bike Tourist Espanol, from the Crooked Cog podcast, nice name that one, from Cycling Insight, from Gear Noise, and from the fabulously named Spokesman. Very much a case of the good and the bad and the ugly. But the final one, the last one in that sequence, I think deserves a special mention. This is John Winston's Bikescape, all the way from sunny San Francisco. And John was one of the first bicycling podcasters out there. And his shows are a terrific mix of bicycle politics, bicycle philosophy, and bicycle people, mostly in and around the Bay Area. And with thankfully only the barest minimum of gear-oriented features. Over the past few weeks, Jonathan's looked at the persecution of fixed gear riders in Oregon. He's interviewed retro guru Grant Peterson of Rivendell Cycles, who, of course, is just across the bay in Walnut Creek. Other highlights have been a series of shows he did early on in the history of Bikescape on city planning issues in America, from the oil and car company conspiracies of the 1950s all the way through to the urban mural movement in the Mission neighborhood in San Francisco. Anyway, check it out. Big chapeau to John Winston and Bikescape, and hopefully get him on the show to tell us a bit about what's happening in bike culture over in San Francisco.
Well, we're nearing the end of the show. ClearSpot is up next. Just a few things to say. Rafa Roller Races, which we've mentioned over the last couple of weeks, is coming this Saturday at the Shoreditch Town Hall. It's just £5 to get in, and you can have a race yourself or watch the various teams competing. And the Shoreditch Town Hall, for anyone who doesn't know it, is a terrific building. So it's worth just the £5 admission to check out the venue that this roller race is going to be taking place in. Obviously, there's going to be a bar, DJs, and all kinds of other stuff. And it's all in favour of Luca Leukemia Charities. And thanks to everybody who has helped out Resonance from listening to the bike show. We are still raising money, and we're going to be continuing to badger you to give us your donation so we can keep Resonance going. But there's been an absolutely terrific response from bike show listeners, around about £200 in the last show, which I think meant that if every show on Resonance raised that much money, it would take us just a week of broadcasting to reach our £60,000 target, which we need to survive. But of course, it doesn't work like that. So the bike show's work is not yet done. We're going to be urging you to give some more money if you can. And thanks very, very much to all of those who have already donated. And if you haven't, if it slipped your mind, please, please, please. It means everything to us. It means everything to keeping this station going, keeping the bike show going. Next week on the show, we'll be taking another look at experimental bicycle music. My guest in the studio is going to be guitarist Andy Cox, formerly of The Beat and Fine Young Cannibals, who will be attempting to play a bicycle wheel, I'm told, or he has promised me at least. So that should be exciting. And until then, chapeau and bon route. Keep warm out there in those February days, the dark days of winter.